she's changed it a bit.
What up, witches, and welcome to Witch and the Bitch in the Podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're doing really, really well, because I'm really excited because we have special guests today.
We always have special guests. I love it. It's our trend at the moment.
It is. So, I love it.
But this is going to be an amazing conversation. I actually can't wait for this. So the Good Witch of Hollywood, Patty Negri, is a psychic medium and a good witch best known for her recurring role on the Travel Channel's number one show, Ghost Adventures. One of her episodes is part of the Discovery Channel's streaming service launch. And Patty is the international best-selling author of Old World Magic for the Modern World, Tips, Tricks, and Techniques to Balance, Empower, and Create a Life You Love. Patty was voted number one psychic medium, trans medium, tarot reader, witch, and magical practitioner in the world in an internationally recognized competition by Times Square Press. Her body of work includes appearances on such shows as MasterChef, America's Got Talent, and Jeff Lewing's Flipping Out. And she's the host of her popular podcast, The Witching Hour, which I'm sure a lot of you are already familiar with and can be heard on nationally syndicated radio with Adam Carolla, Jason Ellis, Mancal Muller, and Coast to Coast with George Noory, which I have actually watched some of his stuff. And she has graced numerous magazine covers, contributed to over 20 books, and conducted seances. Yes, you heard that right. Seances on radio, film, and TV, working with, and this is the bit that my husband's a little jealous because you've worked with legends like Emma Stone. He loves her. And for me, Josh Duhamel.
Me too.
So please welcome Patty.
Well, thank you for that entrance. I'm so happy to be here. I love just listening to your beautiful accents. I know you don't think you have accents. I do, but no, I know. I'm happy to be here. I love Witches and Bitches. So thank you.
Thank you so much. How are you today? Anyway, how are you going?
I am great, just like you. Good. In the craziness of the world's different every day.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with my Instagram got hacked. I mean, seriously hacked. That I've got 12 people working on it and haven't got it back yet.
It's life.
You done any magic yet? I'm like, I dare not.
yeah, that's right. I'm just not quite sure just yet.
I'm gonna calm down. I'm really well. Every day is what do we make it? So I'm choosing to make it really good. And that's my little puppy upstairs barking. If anybody here,
is it Willow?
5-month old dox. It's Willow, my 5-month old doxy.
Oh, I've seen little pictures or little snippets on like your Facebook page and things like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks so cute. I did hear that you call her a devil dog.
She's a devil dog. She is. I didn't have the devil till I had a dog. No, she is. She's teething. She's eating walls.
Yes. My puppy, he did that when he was younger. Ate like the skirting board stuff, like the board along the bottom.
Yeah, it's like, how did you eat that? It's like, you're so little. How did you eat that entire house?
They always find a way, and I don't even know how, but they always find a way. There's actually it's funny, on TikTok recently I saw there's a filter that you can do where it basically tells you, I haven't tried it yet on my cat, but I'm tempted to try. I almost did it yesterday. It's where you turn the camera around to them and either a halo will appear on their head or little devil horns, and it's supposed to tell you if your animal is either a devil or an angel. Oh. I'm scared to do it to my cat because I feel like she's going to blow up my phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I'd even try.
Like, she's so sassy, like so sassy. But no, it's so good to have you here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for being with us. So I wanted to kind of start, this is where we often always start our, when we have guests on, because we want to really showcase that there's no one way to be a witch or to be a magical practitioner. And especially with your book being Old World in the Old World Magic for Modern World, this is why we wanted to kind of have it as well. So how would you define a modern day witch? And it's just purely your opinion. For you.
Well, what I do is, again, it's, to me, it's almost a lifestyle, because can be your religion, your belief system. I'm Wiccan, or I'm ceremonial, or I'm thalamic, I'm chaos magician, I worship the goddess. Witch could be your belief system, but it's the practice. The practice of the craft means to me, again, you are willing to take fate into your hands and shift it and change it to create the life you love. You're just not going to go where the wind blows or where somebody wants to tell you what you're doing, that we take responsibility for our life and we create it. Yeah. That's it. That's what it means to me. You could use a lot of different names. I do choose the title witch. Yeah.
Perfect. Because that was going to be my next question. That was my next question. Is, see, look at this. Funny that, isn't it? Because and it is sort of that simplicity as well, that it's about creating and taking that responsibility, which I really love that you mentioned in that, because I think that's something that sometimes is a little bit missing in sort of modern day world, is that responsibility aspect. But you said just then that you do use the term witch. Do you use any other terms or anything like that with, like, to describe yourself or your practice?
Crazy. Just- no.
Hey, look, I feel like you're the fun kind of crazy. They're not. I'm going to kill you in your sleep, right? Kind of crazy.
Yeah, I am the fun crazy. Not like, get her out of here.
No, like, what's going on?
Kind of crazy. No, as far as, I don't even have a title anymore. I consider myself pretty darn eclectic in my work because I've studied everything for so long. It's like, I this part of Wiccan practices. This, I like this part of chaos magic. I like this southern root magic. I like this folk magic. I like, and I just, I've just so far created my own way of being. So I don't have a title other than that. I do like the word good witch though, which is, I don't like, for me, white witch, black witch, because it has so many connotations.
Yeah.
And it's mostly because I'm a really big fan of the Wizard of Oz. Yes, I have the great big pink Glenda dress.
I was about to say.
Do you travel around in a big bubble?
I'm working on the big bubble. Because you know they have those big, like, kind of hamster bubbles you could do and work out. And,
yes.
If I get one of those, I've got the dress. I actually wore it to the labyrinth ball the other night. There was a great big labyrinth of Jareth ball. So I wore our horns on the top, so I wasn't pure Glenda, but the dress and just ridiculously dress it up.
That would be
nice. It's a big dress. It's a
really I was big, about to say, is that
big, like, dress
hard to walk around in?
I like, you know, I am good. I work light magic. Because I believe what you do is the world you create, the world you live in. Mm.
Yeah.
So why not send out love and positive and abundance and happiness? Because that's what you get. I know, and I'm not judgmental of anybody who chooses to work dark, but they're not as happy as I am. They start getting cranky and you start getting paranoid and you start getting, everything is defensive magic and offensive magic. And it's like, love, I'm going for love. Just love.
Just love.
You know, just love.
It's actually even interesting you say that, because even outside of magic, when you're faced with any form of conflict with someone, like, I've even, if I reflect now, and anytime when I've combated conflict with more conflict, then you feel shit about yourself, even though you've said your piece and you had your final say, but you then feel shit yourself because you've had to go to that dark place or that, you know, that emotional anger, whatever place. So, like, whereas if you just go, oh, well, love and light to you, it doesn't have to be love and light, but you know what I mean? If you go, kill them with kindness, and then you find that you actually, even though you didn't have your final say, you feel a bit better about yourself afterwards. So even magical or otherwise, I think that that's a good philosophy to have.
Yeah. And it actually does work. If you're disconnecting yourself, because you guys know, sending out hating somebody or jealousy, that's a connection to them. If you really don't like, no connection is the great connection. If that's what you want, you don't like somebody, disconnect it. So you don't need the battle. There's enough battle on this planet, on this world, and this everything, you know.
Yeah.
And so can I ask with that then, over the years, is it something that you've always, have you always felt that way or been that way? Or did you go through, like, some, a lot of us witches will go through the patch where we, I mean, I know I'm personally dabbled in some of the dark stuff, not to inflict it on others, but just to learn about it myself, so I knew what I was dealing with. Like, did you kind of go through that phase as well, where you kind of learnt about it to understand it? Or,
well, I certainly learn about it, because again, I work in that paranormal world, which talked about, and I'm thrown into to dark. I want to be the one to bring light into dark, but you got to understand dark. So if you are letting a serial killer or something that's practically demonic into your body, you got to know what you're doing. You understand it.
Yeah.
I'm getting hair standing up now.
Hello.
But again, so I've never went there, because I just am a natural optimist. I'm just born this way. Yeah. But I wasn't a very powerful person, because I was kind of victim-y, which we'll get into all that later, for a long time. But once I said, no, this is good. I do think to do what we do, to take to be a witch, whatever that means to you, you do have to have a sense of integrity. You have to know right and wrong, good and bad, moral code, not morality, who does what with who, but a moral code. If you don't, that's when you can get in trouble. And if you really don't know right from wrong in the classic sense, then you should go have a different belief system where people tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess then, because I could easily unpack this whole conversation a whole lot more.
But
before we get there, because obviously we know a little bit about you because we've read your book and stuff, but for the people who are watching and listening who may not necessarily know about you, I wouldn't mind taking us back for your origin story, because I know I think it's a pretty spectacular story. So are you able to give our listeners and viewers a little insight into where you came from to get to here today?
Yeah, I've literally, again, having the sight, I've been seeing spirits and talking to spirits since I could talk. I just knew that those, what they call in our modern non-mystical Western society, it's everything is so left brain and fact-based. And I just knew that those so-called imaginary friends little kids have weren't imaginary. They were real spirits I could talk to and deal with. The guy, literally, the almost cliche, the thing in the closet and under the bed. I really had something in the closet and under the bed, but I got real information. And I was always very obsessed with the dead, but never ever in a morbid or dark way, just in a, I wanted to talk to them. So I literally did my first seance when I was 7 or 8, went in my little suburban house in the hall where there was no windows and doors, stuffed towels under the door, so it was pitch black. And then I realized I didn't know dead people. So I came up with like Marilyn Monroe and John Kennedy's, like anybody I knew at 7 or 8. And my windowless, lightless hallway filled with orbs and lights and shadows. And it was like a disco. Yeah. And this is my best friend, Sherry and Jones, that I went running out. I was jumping up and down going, this is real and this is controllable. I just kind of knew how to lift that veil, shut that veil. I came up with my first chant, my first just tapping into that nature part of it, of this elemental planet. So then I spent, and I didn't, I was raised without any kind of religion or belief system. My grandfather was this very famous psychoanalyst, philosopher, came from Turkey. My mom would have been Protestant roots. My dad would have been Jewish roots, but religion was a dirty word in our household because of grandpa. My parents, we just, God or spirituality, and we didn't talk about it. But we drive by a church or a temple or a mosque or a synagogue or a park, and I'd see the energy there. And I'm like, I want to go. But I was afraid to ask. I think it was 13, I was brave enough to ask my parents if I can go to church. I wanted to go to plain old Christian church because there was a cute rock band. That was in the days of the Jesus cute rock band. And I wanted to see the rock band. Yeah. And I was so afraid to ask my mom if I could go to church. I mean, I would have almost, can I go to a rave? Can I go to an orgy? Can I go to some philosophical
church?
Like, yeah, she's like, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. I get to do whatever I want. So I became a seeker and I started studying religion and philosophy, just like grandpa, but from the opposite end, where he studied it, he spoke on it, he taught it, right? Books and books about God, psychology, but from a this is bullshit perspective.
Yeah.
And I wrote it going, there's truth here and there's truth here. And there it's whatever template you use, whatever words you use. But if I see energy, which is what I see, you know, you might use Judeo-Christian words and you might use pagan words and you might use science academic words, but if you look at the through line in the broader strokes, that's where the truth lies, whatever roadmap you choose to learn. So, you know, my path was born. I became a seeker.
That's so amazing and beautiful. And I I mean, I say this as an adult now, but that's like, when I idolize about like what my child life could have been like, it's like, oh, I wish I had, like, because obviously you develop psychic senses as you get older. I'm like, wonder what it would have been like to, like, you know, see ghosts, like, as in, because I remember vividly having imaginary friends, as everyone called them. And because I was a bit of a, even though I had a brother and a sister, I was that, I always preferred my own company than the company of others.
I know exactly what you mean.
but when I was in my own company, that's when my friends would come and play with me. And that's when I could have conversations with these otherworldly things that, like, I mean, mine wasn't to the same degree as yours. We were talking to actual dead people. Like, I have no idea who these people were.
I don't know.
The thing is, I wasn't aware enough, I guess, to ask who they were or what they were about or where they came from to then fact check. Is this person real? Like, not like, I mean, Google wasn't around back then, but I couldn't have even done that. You know what I mean? But no, I think that's so amazing. And I guess that would have kickstarted up to your, like, obviously your modern day manifestations of that being that you work in the paranormal investigation scene and doing seances and all that kind of stuff. So I guess, how did we go from this being just a thing that you discovered to then taking this to the mainstream and getting out there?
The economic crash of 2008.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, this was my world. I mean, I was a witch. I had a coven. I was a psychic. I was a medium. I was known for my seances. In my private life, my public life, I'm still a Hollywood girl. I run a production company. I still have it called Brain Brew Entertainment. I did big corporate live shows, song and dance extravaganzas, industrial shows. And I'm like, really, when you're dealing with HR departments of banks and stuff, it's like, these people cannot know I dance around, around the bonfire and talk to dead people. They just would not, you know, this, like, we only touch an elbow in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, I kept it separate. No lying, but this is my world. I was an actress and I was a producer. I produced shows. And then in 2008, the big economic crash and corporate entertainment became a dirty word. Everything is like, we can't afford this. We're not going to give our actors, our employees a show or motivational training or all those things we did. And at the same time, reality TV was pushing up. And I have a sketch and improv background. And I remember somebody came to me that I knew. They go, Patty, we need you to do a seance on a TV show. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. I keep that separate. Please, please, please. We know what you do. We really need you. No, I can't do that. And please, no, I can't. And then I'm looking at my empty calendar with no shows. And I kind of, well, what's the name of the show? and they go, it's called Mobile Home Disaster and it's on country music television. And I'm like, well, okay. Nobody's going to watch that, right?
If you're going to dip your toes in, it's okay.
Who in the world would watch a show called Mobile Home Disaster on country music television? So I go, okay, sure, I'll do it. I'm not working. I went, I had so much fun. I got to help a little living girl. I got to help a little ghost. I got to let her family see she wasn't crazy by who she was talking. There was a portal in her trailer mobile home, this spiral that she, and it had the background of, I didn't have to memorize things like acting. They followed me around with three cameras. I got to do what I do. I get to help people like I do. I got to spread my philosophy in a non-proselytizing way.
Yeah.
I go, oh gosh, that was so much fun, but never again. That's it. Nope. Not again. Never again. So, when it aired on, I'm like, nobody's going to watch it. Of course, the very next day, my biggest corporate client, let me turn that down. My biggest corporate client, I saw you on TV last night.
I'm like, of course you did.
This national bank. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, I didn't know you were into the paranormal. I love the paranormal. I'm like, yeah.
You do.
My voice goes into this little girl. And we had the best conversation, most personal conversation we have ever had. And I'm like, that's it. I'm out of the broom closet. I am out of the psychic closet. This is who I am. That was the most fun I've ever had, the most fulfilling I ever had, that I am being truest to myself. I'm done. I'm out. You know, whatever that helped. It didn't hurt my corporate world. Mm-hmm. Most people didn't watch whatever I did or didn't know. And those who did, well, then they did. So then they knew. But still, this world took over because I do know what I'm doing. I'm Hollywood this. I am legit at what I do. I'm so trained, so educated. So if they needed a psychic, call Patty. If they needed a medium, call Patty. If they needed a witch, call Patty. If you need a seance, call. So, because I know how to hit a mark and I know how to talk in sound bites and I'm legit. So it took over. I have my production company, don't even have time to do stuff. I did one little thing last year. And I love it. It's good. I get to do what I do. And and make a living from it. Make a living from it. I get to travel and I'm not bored. Yes, I am stuck behind my desk a lot, but now with the television, that allows that I get to go to conventions and speak. I speak at colleges and I love young people. I keep getting younger in the people I'm working with, because the show I'm on is Ghost Adventures. That's guys in their 40s. I started working with a lot of different people, but this TFIL guys I'm working with this year, they're guys in their 20s. And then I started working back again with Awesomeness TV, which is high school oriented. I've started doing a bunch of their shows. So I'm back with teenagers. I'm waiting for my kindergartner.
I was about to say,
the good witch, and whatever. You know, we could do nursery rhyme.
That's when you have to wear the Glinda dress.
Then I'm going to work that big bubble. I'm going to get that big bubble.
Yep.
It's just great. It's seeing, again, working, whether I'm speaking at a college or whatever, seeing little light bulbs go on. I'm not telling them they need to be witches at all. But just that, grab your power back, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grab your power back. You get to create your life. You know, everybody gives away everything to limiting belief systems, to other people, to fear.
Yeah.
Grab it back. It's easy as you allow it to be. So that's what I'm about. It's fun.
And I love that, because I'm so glad that we live in the society today where we can do stuff like this. The fact that you get to like gradually speak to younger and younger crowds means that those children now have an opportunity to have a choice at a much earlier age than, for example, our generation. And the generation before that, and the one before that. And the fact that like you're here on Hollywood, on radio, doing your own podcast, the same as us, doing a podcast, like these are things that, I mean, we haven't done an episode about this, but we're tempted to do one of what are the things that people do today that back in the day you would have been tried for being a witch?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because all of us would be hung by now. We'd either be hung or burnt at the stake.
All of the above. Yeah.
Exactly.
And what's a normal part of life now that people do? It's like,
That's right. But it's amazing that you get to now, like Darren was saying, to come to that different generation where they can come into it without having to. Because I mean, even within both of our stories, I know like there's a lot that we kept. I mean, I was still really, I guess, really technically in the closet until we started this podcast, which was only a year ago, like publicly, because of you had to kind of keep things hidden a little bit before fear of what it would have that kind of add-on effect on outside of life. Outside of your magical life.
Yeah. And I think the world needs us now, forward thinkers who take action. Cause it is a scary world. It is a scary world, and unrest and pandemics and people want to look outside themselves. You want to look outside this three-dimensional, this world.
Yeah.
And a lot of religion isn't keeping up with the world. So they want more. So this is something they can go to. And those who don't even want what we have, you could be the witchy person, you could be the new age person, the love and light crystal person, but those who don't even want that, they become paranormal investigators. So they want the mystery, they want the mysticism, they want but without any kind of spirituality stuff, though they usually end up going there. Many scary things, find God of some sort or gods or God.
Yes, something comes out.
and see, that's the thing is that like, there's a part of me that has this yearning. And like, I really like when it comes to movies in Hollywood, like I'm talking like fiction right now. The only movies that get under my skin are the ones that are about paranormal things going on. They're the ones, anything with any kind of religious connotation, like demons or devils, or even like the Skeleton Key, all about voodoo. Mm-hmm. Like those types of movies that are about things that I believe in really get under my skin. So Paranormal Activity, I'm like the guy that's like hiding under the bed sheets, like looking like this to watch it.
I'll watch it.
She won't watch it at all, but I'm like peering between my fingers. So I want to know, like, because that would scare the bejesus out of me. But at the same time, I'm curious, like, what is it actually like when you have to go into a place and like investigate what's going on there?
I like to be scared and I like to be challenged, just like you. I was that person too. I grew up on scary films and horror films and scared. And it's it's a fun challenge. Again, this is one of those, don't do this at home. Know what you're doing. Who are you going to call when you get scared? Mm-hmm. Is it Jesus? Great. Is it your mother? Great. Is it your Louboutin? But, you know what you're doing. But it's what's going in, again, it's, you don't ever know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, it's trusting the gift. I get just as scared of, it's like, I don't know anything going in. The psychic part, with Zach or whoever I do, they'll keep you blindfolded, locked in the trunk of the car if they have to. You don't know where you're going. Well, almost literally. In the van. And it's like, here's an address, here you go. Even with the Cecil Hotel, which that's the one that we launched, because that's like the scariest place ever. I remember Zach called me like a couple weeks before and he said, we're coming to LA, we need you for something. Okay, cool. Didn't hear. That's normal. Then 2 weeks later, he goes, hi, we're shooting today. Can you be here in 2 hours? And we're downtown. And I'm a girl going, 2 hours. Did I wash my hair today? Do I have to put on? Oh my God.
That's right. God. Like, I need a little bit longer than 2 hours just to make sure.
I'm not even home. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah. And he gave, I don't think he said Cecil. If he did, it was under his breath. And because again, I live in LA. That's the hotel that you walk blocks around. So, and then I driving up, getting there into it. And I'm like, oh, Cecil Hotel. That's that water tower, girl in the water tower place. Yeah. That's all I remembered. And I'm walking up, don't know anything. Certainly didn't have time to research. I wouldn't anyway, because he always wants to test me. What happened in here? 6 double murders and so I walk in, and I should have known from the very beginning, because it is like Skid Row. A rat did not want to let me in. I would go right, the rat would go right, I would go left, and I'm dancing with the rat in the middle of Skid Row going, okay, well, I'm not even overly afraid of rats. I go, he's either out to get me or maybe he's trying to protect me.
I was about to say which one is it.
So I walk in and this building starts bombarding in on me, boom, boom, like this heavy dark. She's like, oh, wow. And I start going into trance state immediately, because that's what I do with these guys. So then they pop up like, hey, and they have their cameras already strapped on. They go, okay, Patty, there's 14 floors or 700 rooms. You tell us where to go. And I'm like, okay. And I go into the elevator, push the button, go here. And again, that's where that faith comes in, faith that you can't left brain it. You can't overthink. What if I don't know? And then I took him to a room where I almost jumped out a window. Then I take another room where a woman was raped and murdered. And I'm like, but then you help people too. There was some, I didn't get to cross anybody over there, but we helped some stuff. I remember even at the Black Dahlia House, that's another famous dark one that's here in LA that we did. The Black Dahlia, Elizabeth Short actress, this guy cut them up and did horrible things. And you never see it on camera. He didn't get to do it, but we actually crossed over one of the girls, Fauna Hodel, who was the daughter, granddaughter of the guy. Her mother wouldn't die because she had promised this girl spirit she would help her, because this guy was holding in these spirits.
Yeah.
And she promised she would help her. So with Zach, with this whole group, you would never see do that. We literally did that. Go to the light, Caroline, go to the light thing. We felt it. We saw it, the whole thing. It was beautiful. Of course, they couldn't put it in the episode. That didn't fit what they do.
What they wanted.
But it was magic. It was great. And that gets to happen a lot. Sometimes I'll go back to the houses and clear it for them.
Yeah.
So again, we get to do what they want for the television, the jump scares and all that stuff. Again, all legit. And then get to do help the spirit sometimes not. Sometimes they want to break your ribs. I've had that done too.
That's what I was about to ask you. Like, how is that to be going into those places and sort of taking onto that energy a lot? Like, does that take a toll on you personally? Like, I watched a little snippet of one of the ones that you did at the Cecil Hotel where, like, you had like them channeling. It was Bobby, I think his name was.
Oh yeah. When I spoke backwards. I thought again, I let somebody take over my body. I'm channeling, possess, whatever. And I keep this much Patty. And I thought I was talking. I knew I was kind of rocking, sort of, but I thought I was talking. I didn't know all they were hearing was gibberish. And then when Corey goes, play it backwards. And then backwards, it sounds like I'm going, I'm so sorry, I got to get out of here. That was wild. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
That, I was this drug addict doing whatever that person you had did. Done. But I know I've had scare. I don't know if you guys that like, I was at what it's all about respect too for spirits. If you go and go, it's respect. When you don't have that, that's when trouble. Again, the Black Dahlia murder pushed me so hard into a chair because I didn't set my wards correctly. I ripped all the cartilage off my ribs, had to go to urgent care.
Oh,
I think
wow.
my most, and I've said this probably not, you're, I think the biggest one so far was, I was at Marilyn Manson's house. It was a house built by Charlie Chaplin. And then the Rolling Stones manager bought Rolling Stones lived there. Mamas and Papas, all these famous chaotic. And then the person who had been at the real life sex doll. And then Marilyn Manson moved in and he was my neighbor for 7 years, right in the Hollywood Hills where I live.
Yeah.
And this one kid got kind of disrespectful and it's a very haunted house. It looks like it was built by sacred geometry, like a mason. Ooh, 12 of these. There's a compass drawn in the floor as you walk in. It's like four level roundy staircase. I'm like, this is a magic house. Good, bad, or different. But this kid was being disrespectful. So first is not demon. Demons get way too much credit. 90% of what people think are demons. It's just cranky ass ghosts. It's like not a demon. It wants to be a demon. It's just a wannabe.
That is the soundbite or quote of the episode. Demons get way too much credit.
They do. It's like, oh yeah, the demonic. It's like, really? That's a 13-year-old ghost that wants to be. It's like
it's a 13-year-old chucking a tantrum is what it is.
Yeah. So anyway, but this ghost was getting crazy. So the French doors were flying open, everybody's screaming. The producer side of me is like, wow, that's like special effects, but it's not. I still wouldn't think that happened again. And then the speakers on the floor, you know, old school sound speaker, like came on like white noise and everybody's like, they weren't even plugged in. We look later, but this tension is building and I'm trying to keep control because the veil is raised. I'm trying to keep control. We're working with a Ouija board, which I do know how to do safely since I was 8. But this kid said something so stupid, not him, but my cameraman facing him burst into flames. Angel wings of fire up his back. Everybody's screaming. Two cameras actually caught it. And his camera didn't because one camera like hit the ceiling, hit the floor, like it's a small room bursting into place. The cameraman's facing this way going like, why is everybody screaming and pointing at me until he realized his back is on fire. And I become, you know, cool witch medium Patty becomes medic Patty, which I am on the EMT. I'm like, drop and roll, blah, 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 blah. And I'm calling my guardians. I'm calling myself. It's like, we're done. I don't care what we're filming. We're doing a documentary about the house. We're done. Nobody burst into flames on my watch. This isn't good. This is like Spinal Tap. No, my God. No. Yes. But the guy who caught on fire, who was a total skeptic, a total non-believer, he was so intrigued. He's like, because when you burst into flames and
that's a pretty big thing to
just casually bursting into flames, you know, just whatever.
And he's like, no, I'm okay. I got the shirt burnt off. I'm like, poof, it shouldn't have. He's like, I got a sweater. I'm okay. And he's like, no, I got it. And the kid, the idiot kid that really caused it, he was no longer a problem. He became the choir boy in the corner, like not another word, you know, just like, okay. He's going to be good. I talked to the ghost. I'm like, we're not even going to get rid of you at the end. We're not going to shut it down. Just come on. So he agreed to get along more or less. The glasses were flying. They did try to push the camera. But the coolest thing about that and showing my magic, or not my magic, but what we can do with our magic, is that the cameraman called me up 3 weeks later. He goes, Patty, look at my back where the burning and the scarring had happened. Yeah. And it totally looked like he had got a tattoo of a dragon. Open mouth, sharp teeth, winged head into the shape of a serpent. That is the exact energy. That is what I called in to shut down the seance. I work dragon energy. It's big, scary dragon. Dragons. I work dragon energy. And I'm like, oh my God, you have a tramp stamp of a dragon on your back. That is about the coolest
thing ever. I was about to say that's the coolest thing you could ever get, I think, isn't it?
Yes. And he thought so too. He was so inspired by this. He wrote, they haven't done it yet, I hope they do, who knows it. He wrote a movie with Stephen Norrington, actually. That's the guy who wrote The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Blade series. He wrote all these very left of center movie. He wrote a movie about this TV psychic who did all the TV show basically about me. And then one day, ooh, a portal opens, and then it became a big horror film. And and I'm like, oh, have fun. Make you have somebody young and beautiful play. But I'm like,
do I get to choose who plays me?
Yeah, but I sat down with him for 5 hours and I go, oh no, Laurent, you can't say that in the movie. He goes, but you said that. I go, I know I said that. That opens a gate. You can't say that. Let's say something that doesn't mean anything, because you don't want to be one of those cursed horror films, do you? Spirits, energy don't know the difference of this was written on a script and this is really doing it. That's what happens with those movies where all the actors died in a car crash. They really do stuff. So we changed all the world, said if it ever does come out, it's just going to be a horror film, not a cursed horror film. Because all the words are now meaningless that sound like big magical words.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you should say that, because I know I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but we all know that I love a good tangent. Yeah. So it's funny you say that though, because like so many people, when they say things online, even just in a mundane level, and like I'm a witch, I live by my word. So if I'm going to put it out there, especially in writing, it doesn't matter whether I've spoken it or written it down or typed it into a computer or sent it in a text message. To me, my word is my everything. So like the fact that so many people just nonchalantly put stuff out there, I'm like, oh, you really should not be typing that, because who knows who's reading that. And if they're chanting that shit out loud or even just saying it in their head as they're reading your post, like you're like, because I've seen a few people, especially of late, that the people are, I've actually seen someone quote how to open up a portal to the demon world and all this kind of thing. They put that on the internet. I'm like, oh, so report the thing, take it down. You don't want random, like it could be a 10-year-old that's going to read that, you know?
It's going to be a 10-year-old that's going to read that. And you have so much energy when you're at that age. And,
definitely.
So can I circle back a little bit? There's so many different directions I could take this.
I know.
As someone who's done every Game of Thrones quiz, and I always end up with House Targaryen, so I'm absolutely fascinated by your dragons. I do want to go there, but first I want to go back to something else we spoke about. So when it comes to, now I know that I'm kind of dumbing this down a little bit, but when it comes to being a psychic versus a medium versus a transmedium, how would you differentiate the difference between them? Because I know what they are, but just in case someone's listening and they're like, aren't they all the same thing? Because they're not. But how would you define the differences between a psychic, a medium, and a transmedium?
Okay, well, a psychic is somebody who can see into future or possible future. Mm-hmm. My witch trumps my psychic, because I would never say this is going to happen, because we have free will. We have control, not over everything, but over a whole lot of it. You know, it's not, you know, I could say, you know, a bird's going to poop on your head when you walk out of your house. I am such a good psychic. I know when the bird's going to poop. I know when it's going to fly over. I know when you're going to walk out. You know, and that's what, you know, the baby's like, the bird's going to poop on your head. I would go, be careful so the bird doesn't poop on your head. Go out the back door, put up an umbrella, and again, create your path. So, but that's what a psychic does. You go to a psychic to look at love and career and health and looking into the past or future and all that, to see pathway blocks that you have. Again, to me, futures aren't set in stone, because we do have this free will thing, which is great. A medium means you talk to the other side. You can talk to spirits, dead people, ghosts, elementals, gosh knows what, on the everything else on the other side, which is not all mediums are psychic. Not all psychics are mediums.
So
mediums, and then getting into the transmedium is that you take on that. A regular a medium is like, okay, your grandmother is telling you that she hid the will in the box and she wants you to have her diamond ring. A transmedium will take that on and become the grandmother and change the facial shapes and do all that.
As in, because I don't know if I even mentioned this on air in previous episode, but so I used to attend a psychic development circle for years with my teacher from back in the day, Leone, and we started off a psychic development, and over time it became mediumship. And then I remember the first time that she did transmediumship in front of us, and I freaked. Like, and I even remember, because her face had changed, because we open our eyes up out of meditation. So I'm looking with the half open eyes, and I literally saw her face change, and she looked me dead in the eyes and said, I know you're freaking out, but you need to calm down. It's okay. And I'm just like freaking, like, and the more, like,
dude, I'm going to freak out more now.
But she's looking at me, and in my mind, obviously in my mind, I'm going, who is she? She's not even my teacher anymore. I don't know who this person is that I'm talking to. And it's just looking me dead in the face. And like, it took me a while to calm down after that class, let's just say.
Yeah.
Because like, I'll be honest, I was one of those kids who used to dabble with homemade Ouija boards, having no idea what I was doing, inviting all kinds of things into my house. And I remember when I was a very young kid, I think I would have been probably about 10 or 11. We had done a seance with my sister and her best friend, and we do all this thing. We made up all the rules, like, oh, like, you know, we have to make sure we all take our finger off the glass at the same time or whatever, or we have to make sure we're sitting on a cushion so we're not sitting on the floor. And I don't know where these rules came from. We just made them up.
And it was.
Yeah, but that's just what we believed and all that kind of stuff. And then I remember the next day my uncle came over with my two-year-old nephew, and they came over to our house and they went to go in our room, and my nephew went, not nephews, my cousin. What am I saying? My uncle with my cousin. My cousin went running out of the room screaming and crying, and my uncle came to see what went on because he thought something had happened. And he walked one step in the room. He's like, whoa, what have you done in here? Because he's a massive spiritualist. And he goes, this is not good. You need to fix this. You need to get rid of this. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like playing dumb, because I don't want my spiritual uncle knowing that I did a seance. And so he ended up having to do a house cleansing for us. Without my parents knowing, because they were very Christian, but he did it on the down low. And like since then, I vowed never to touch Ouija boards. However, now as an adult, I almost want to do it. So is there any, like, what are your, I guess, takeaways or things that you need to know before dabbling into that? Because I know that you can use them for spirit contact in a very safe way.
Mm-hmm. Again, it set up your wards, your protection, your sacred space, whatever that is, however you work. If you work with angels, call in angels. You work with gods and deities, call those in. You work with dragons, call those in. Whatever that is, or set your space, elemental, call the four winds. And be very careful of who you allow in. You wake it up, you put it to sleep. You don't open your front door and go, anybody come in, the serial killer next door.
Yeah. Hello, the door's open. Welcome, everyone.
Yes.
You know, why would you do that? Anybody out there? And then you think it's wisdom. Just because they're dead or your Ouija board, and just because that says it's your grandma doesn't mean it's your grandma. And just it's not like some god you're talking to, that it might just be a trickster. It might be somebody stupid. Be very careful of who you allow in. I am a firm believer, which has got me safe through everything, that this is our realm of existence. This three-dimensional world. We are humans right now. We have gravity. This is our world. The other world actually does have to play by our rules. I've thought that since I was a kid, and it's therefore always been true. So, you know, other worlds, they might have their worlds. Maybe we have to play by their rules. But so again, if something comes in that you don't like, that feels negative, command it to leave in whatever you believe in. I don't even think it matters. The name of deity, in the name of your cat, in the name of without
I wouldn't
anger,
mess with my cat.
Without anger or without fear, because if it is a negative entity, it wants you to get angry. It wants you to get fearful.
Yeah.
But be like a parent feeds or a teacher. Yes, it does. So you want to be like, nope, I'm sorry. My body, my house, my Ouija board, you are not welcome here. Almost like with a respect and a love, but disciplinarian. Guess what? They go away. They do go away. If it feels positive, don't be afraid to talk to it. And so many people, that cracks me up. It's like a spirit comes in. It's like, they sit their jaw dropped. The spirit sits their jaw dropped. Did you talk to him? No. You just stared at each other? Yeah.
Yep.
You know, just like, are you human? Were you human? Are you an elemental? Are you an angelic realm? What are you? You know, are you male? Are you female? Do you have a gender? What's the deal? Why
are you?
You know, yeah. And even if they're good, you can go, yeah, I need to sleep. Go away. You know, we our world. People, again, just like when we started out this thing, everybody gives away their power. Everybody wants us to give away our power. Mm-hmm. Don't give it away to spirit world either. And that, you know, even when I have crossed a bed really heavy and strong things, I still believe you bring a candle into a room, you bring that light into a room. That room has now got light in it. Even though you see those scary ass dark shadows, you're gonna see the monsters in the corner. You brought in the light.
Yeah.
So that is, I live by that. So Ouija boards, make sure you wake it up, shut it down. Just next week, I'm going to Michigan Paracon, which is the big here in the States, one of the big ones, thousands of people. I am doing a seance on the world's largest Ouija board, Guinness Record world's largest Ouija board, with a super haunted Ouija board from the Historical Society of Talking Boards. So that's in the middle of nowhere in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. So that's what I'm doing this coming weekend. To me, it's a tool, and it so cracks me up that somebody's afraid of a Ouija board, but they'll sit there with a pendulum. That's a door. Yeah. Or they'll sit there with dowsing rods or tarot cards. Are they any different? These are openings for spirit.
I guess for me, it's that whole thing of because a Ouija board, I've never had experience with it. The only experience I had was a negative experience. It kind of scared me.
And we've made it negative. Remember, we create our reality.
I was about to say.
We had the word. So we put that scary stuff into it. Mm. I don't think they should be stolen in toy stores. I think you should be an adult to buy it, or 16 plus or parental thing. I think they should have a completely opposite set of directions. More like, this is not a toy. You know, my favorite one is my little Barbie pink Ouija board with a game.
Do you use that when you're wearing a Glinda dress?
I do.
Yes. I love it.
Oh, the spirit said.
Although that said, I have always wanted to. I Google every couple of years. I Google again because I missed the day when they came out. But just in case they bring them out again, if I could get a replica, an exact replica of the one on Charmed, I'm sold. I am sold. Like, I could live for that one because it's just like Halliwell sisters. Like. So obviously I don't want us to get too wrapped up in, because I could talk about that
I'm like, no, we need to get on to the next things.
talking about ghosts and communicating with spirit. Now I know there's something that you're, well, quote unquote, an expert on, or one of the go-to people on, and that's a thing that's called spectrophilia. I found this really fascinating when I heard about this in your book, because it was just like for the listeners, we're going to get onto what it is, but I've had experiences with this and I was always like questioning, like, did that happen? Why did that happen? And then you start questioning yourself because of the experience of what it is. So for the listeners and viewers, what is spectrophilia?
Spectrophilia is the technical name for ghost human sex, ghost human intimacy. It's been around forever. Every culture, just like dragons, every culture, every belief system, whether it's an otherworldly being comes down for the human. I mean, it's almost a Jesus story and everybody else. It's an off-worlder. Yes, it is.
I hadn't thought about it that way.
Christians are going to burn me.
It's okay. They're gonna send us to their version of hell, which we don't believe in anyway. So whatever.
Okay. Exactly. But it's been around forever, good and bad and indifferent. But the stuff that always gets the rap that they've talked about is the bad. Ooh, the incubus, the succubus, the demon devil who comes in and sucks life out of you with the best sex you've ever had. And again, just like human sex, it's true. There's good and there's not good. There's consensual and there's not consensual. In anything, the non-consensual is not good. But there's been the good side of it for so long. But in our modern world, I mean, it's bad enough to talk about ghosts and spirits. We know that. Mm-hmm. And to talk about sex, we're still this crazy prudish, no matter how modern we think, in the States, and I'm sure Australia is the same.
Yeah.
No matter how modern we think we are, we're not. We're prudish. Mm-mm. You know, don't look at the body. Ooh, don't look. It's like, so if you're going to combine ghosts and sex, it's like, you just don't talk about it. But then all through history, there's all these people experiencing it. Like you. And again, and it is the good side of it and the bad side of it. They're afraid to talk about it and they think they're insane or they're possessed.
Yeah.
And the good side of it, then they really think they're insane or they're evil or they're possessed or something. It's like, no, not either. If you don't believe in ghosts, you don't believe in ghosts. But and nothing will do it. But if you believe in spirits or the spirit world or the other world in any form, you know, if you believe that, you know, your spirit guide can touch your hand or dead grandma can come soothe you when you're sick, why all of a sudden with sex, which is such an integral part of human experience, be off limits as soon as you're dead? Really? Grandma could hold your hand, but your dead lover can't come say goodbye?
And see, I think there's something amazing about that, because it's like, if you think of all these people that deal with grief and loss, And like, you know, I mean, one of the things is the physical intimacy is gone, and then they feel almost dead inside because they're missing that physical contact. Like, who's to say that after you've finished with the grieving process that you can't engage in that kind of activity with your departed loved one as a means of soothing and healing? You obviously don't then hold them to this plane for the rest of eternity. Let them go too. But as at least to help with the healing process. But it can
be also a goodbye as well.
It usually is. And I'm saying, again, once I started having clients like that, I had to study, I had to learn. So again, I am considered like an international expert, but you know, when the playing field is three people big, you rise to the top. I'm the expert because I'm the only person who knows. But when my best friend, her husband died really young, cancer, and he came to her, and it was like their normal foreplay, and it was like that's how they started, and it was a closure. I'm okay, you're okay, and it was beautiful. I don't think it should be a continuing thing, because talk about geographically undesirable, they're not even on the same plane.
It's not even
you can't take you out to dinner, you don't take them home to the family, but in things like that, for closure and stuff, it's good. And also I've seen it as good for a lot of people, usually women, but it can be both. Somebody who's lost their sensuality, they've lost their sexuality, they're afraid to date, they're afraid to go out, they just don't think they have anything. I've seen spirits come into them, whether they've consciously or unconsciously called them in, they've rediscovered their sensuality. And then it's like, oh, this is great. And then I urge them to move on to humans. Though, apparently...
I know what you mean, but it just...
it sounds bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does sound... But again, it apparently is really good, because... it's really good. I haven't had it myself, but it's like full body everything. You're not even limited by the skin on the outside. So
I can attest to that, and I'm happy to go on camera saying this, because my husband and I, we've been together a long time. We all know that relationships go up and down with their sex life and everything like that. Like, I don't care talking about this. He's probably going to be weird. I'm going to make sure he doesn't listen to this episode. But there was a period where we went through a dry patch, which all relationships do. Everybody. And then this is when I subconsciously must have invited this experience in. And after it happened, it was like, it only happened once, but then it was like, because my brain had somehow attached itself to this, goes, oh my God, that's so amazing. Why am I missing out on this in the real world?
Exactly.
That's what reignited the passion.
That has that effect, doesn't it? Yeah.
I know, it does. And it does. It's again, just like grandma soothing you when you're sick. Mm-hmm. Only more fun. I actually did a Travel Channel, a producer for Travel Channel. I did one movie. I was an expert on it. It's called Ghostly Lovers. It was the only thing ever done, to my knowledge, on the positive side of ghost sex. And it was literally done like a Hallmark, one of those family movies. It was different stories of all good things. Again, the woman whose husband had passed and came back, and then almost some girl who's like fantasy lover, native, whatever, came in, and then some other story, and they played it once. They played it once on television, to my knowledge. It's like, where's that movie Ghostly Lovers? You want to send people there. It's like, it's hidden somewhere.
It's hidden. Yeah.
Because we are, again, such a prudish.
And that's the thing, isn't it? The more you talk about these things, the more it becomes such a part of it. And it becomes more of a natural thing for people, and they don't feel so crazy or weird or whatever. It's just, we don't shameful talk about
things.
That's right, when in reality it actually should be a really beautiful thing, like you're saying, like with the closure and things like that it can bring. And that's where we have to start talking about things and just getting things out there.
When actual fact, when I then unpacked that in my waking state with spirit, so I spoke to my spirit guides and stuff, and I was asking about it, I'm like, was that okay? Did I like cheat on my husband in some weird spiritual way or something? And then when I unpacked that with them, they actually said, this is all part of your healing process, because I had such a hang up about my own sexuality. And when I say that, not meaning the fact that I'm gay, but about my sexual past, pre my husband, you know, when in my younger days, when I used to play the field a little bit more, like I had such a hang up about that phase of my life that through this phase that I was going through now, it almost helped me heal that. So I didn't have such a taboo, like dirty, shameful like thing. And now I'm actually extremely sexually open, not meaning that I have sex with many people, meaning sexually open, meaning I'm happy to talk about it now as a means of normalizing it, because otherwise we just create this sense of taboo and it just almost perpetuates.
It does. I was going to say, it just continues to perpetuate it constantly.
Yeah.
That's so, all you got to do. So that's spectrophilia.
Now, I hope I haven't left us with not too much time to go, but I do want to get to your book and touch on a few factors of it. I don't know if we're pressed for time, are we?
You talking me or her?
For you, Patty. Are we pressed for time?
Okay.
Or are we good?
I'm okay.
Okay, cool.
We're good.
Because I do want to talk about, so it's old world magic for the modern world, tips, tricks, and techniques to balance, empower, and create a life you love. So I had the pleasure of listening to this on Audible because unfortunately my book didn't arrive in time. But guys, if you're not a book reader, but you do like to listen, you can get it from Audible. It's there. It's actually a really, I like it because it's an easy read, meaning that it's quick and fast and to the point and no fuss and
concise
fluff and all
and
of that
practical.
Other stuff. Exactly. It's like, I could almost tell that you're an LA Hollywood girl because it's just like, it's real world magic in the real world that you can just get on with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No time to, I spent as much time unwriting it as writing it. So it's like, I was just led to write this and I wrote it and I'm like, all these words, Patty, this is just you hearing words. Get rid of half of it. Stupid words. Just this is. And so that's why it's done. So it's been a bestseller in like 5 countries because it's easy. I remember when I started like 300 years ago, I would buy these, you know, big fancy books and
like
cult books
thick.
And magic book, this book, Buckland's book, Craft and all these things. Not that that's hard, but it's just like, and they'd be either overwhelming or boring or no, I wasn't there yet. And then I'd buy something really simple, like a Scott Cunningham book on magic. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, I get this. I could do this. Elemental this. And I would devour it. So that's what I wanted mine to be, something like that. Simple, matter of fact, not preachy. Just do it. Don't do it is what it is.
No, but I love the way it was written. And in particular, I've taken a few little tidbits from it, which I hope you don't mind me sharing. So one of the ones I love the most, and I think this is the side of me that is obsessed with Charmed. And for those that have been listening, they all know that I'm actually being in lockdown. I've got nothing better to do than rewatch all 8 seasons of Charmed at the moment. I think I'm up to season 6 or 7, like up towards the
end.
There.
You're getting there.
And that's after rewatching 8 seasons of Game of Thrones at the same time. So I'm living my best life at the moment. All I've got
Why not?
But no, this particular quote I love. Rhyming is great. An old adage says that spells should rhyme. A rhyme spell has rhythm and joyfulness in it. It's easy to remember and repeat, and the repetition creates an altered consciousness. I love that because it's so simple but so on point.
Powerful.
It is. It's very, very powerful. Because and I love that throughout your entire book, every time you have a little incantation or spell that you've given in the book, because it's not just talking about it from a 101 level. You've actually given some really solid, in my eyes, ways of doing real world magic very quickly. And I love the way that you rhyme because, I mean, there's something a little bit poetic and cute about doing a spell that rhymes.
Yeah, it is. I do too. I love it. One of my friends, his name is Orion Foxwood.
Yes, we've had him on the show, actually.
Yeah, you have?
We've had him on the show, yes.
Oh, he's amazing. The way
You just melt.
I'm in love with him. Oh.
I am too. Everybody's in love with him.
Yes.
And he's got charmed voice.
It is.
And it's also got that southern. It's not a drawl, but that's that southern voice. Like, you know, he has that like almost drawn out way that he speaks. And it's like listening to liquid, like his voice is like liquid chocolate.
Yes. I like that.
When it's just like just oozy and like it's either chocolate or caramel. It's got that consistency.
Either way.
So smooth and anyway. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a man crush on Orion now.
and it's the rhyming partly. Yeah.
It is.
But he also has a magical way of choosing particular words that really just hit the heart center, which I love. But getting back to your other quotes, there's another one that really hit home for me was everything we do must include mind, body, and spirit. 1 out of 3 is wishful thinking. 2 out of 3 is hit or miss. 3 out of 3 is a home run. So that's another one that just really, because for me, it's, and I think you explain it so eloquently. I don't know if we've got time to go on it now, but like you explain it how everything starts with thought and then through action. And then I don't know if you have a better way of paraphrasing this because I'm doing a really poor job of this.
No, you're doing great. We'll never surpass our own thought pattern. We won't. I can't do that. No, now you can't. I could do it. Now you can't. We just know that's psychology, mind, body. We have to take action. You cannot sit down on the sofa all day. You're not going to get anywhere. And the spirit, that's what people get they don't get, but that's actually the energy, the battery that makes it happen. You could do it through old school religion, go pray. You could do it new age vision boards and affirmations. You could do what we do, a spell working. It doesn't matter, or just faith. That's the battery. When you have them all, you could go through your entire life and look at everything you've accomplished. You've believed it. You've taken some sort of action, and you had some spirit, faith, or magic behind it. The things you haven't quite, you just need to tweak one or two. And then to me, in spell working is the same thing. It's creation working dispatch. The creation is like, I'm going to do a love spell. Yeah. I better do Friday because that's Venus. I'm going to use, rose petal. I better, that's the mind part. The body is, I'm sitting here carving those candles, mixing those herbs. And the dispatch is when you're sending off the spell. It's the spirit. It's the same thing. Our witchy world and psychology, mind, body, spirit, the 20,000 books are written about.
I love it. And then my favorite part of the whole book, which I was talking about with Vicky before we got on air with you, was the section about what you can do in the bathroom, both the restroom and the bathroom, meaning where you shower and whatnot. Just the simplicity of like, and I've never thought of this. I can't believe in 20 plus years, I've never thought to do this. Carving sigils in your soap, or because I don't use actual soap blocks, I use like liquid soap. So even you said like just drawing sigils on your shampoo, conditioner, or on your liquid soap bottle. I'm like, that is genius.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
It's a love bag.
Because you're literally lathering.
Shampoo. Yeah.
It's so, because I was literally, and then my kicker out of all of it, do you mind if we unpack a little bit the whole concept of putting salt in the toilet and the whole concept with the chakras? I'll let you speak because it's
okay. No, when everybody goes to the bathroom, when we go to the bathroom, it's just a fact that all of our lower chakras are open. Water in the toilet. Water is the emotions. Water is the west. Water is the flow. Toilets run the right direction down whichever side of the equator you are on. It's a great big water cauldron. So if all your lower chakras open, a little tiny pinch of salt in the toilet, in the commode, before you sit down, just a little pinch. When you relieve yourself, get rid of stress, get rid of anger, fear, whatever you're holding on to, and you flush it down. Going to the bathroom could be this beautiful, magical cleansing ritual.
See, I love this.
You know,
I love the practicality of everything. It's so cool.
I've now changed that. You know how WC water closet? I've now changed it in my mind from now on. WC is water cauldron.
I'm just going
to sit on the water cauldron.
It goes down to the ocean. It's a water. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to call that too. It's a water cauldron.
Water cauldron. It's a whole new name now. We've got a whole new thing.
It's like I'm just going to sit on the water cauldron. Chris will be like, what? Where are you going?
It has running water. It goes to the ocean.
It's got the whole bit. It's magical.
Well, it actually makes sense because when you have all the stress and the emotions and the fear and the anxiety or whatever, that's when you tend to physically be more constipated. Hold on to all the shit, quote unquote.
You're
holding on to all that shit because you don't want to let it go. So that's why, like, just go to the bathroom, flush it out.
It's a magical experience.
Yeah, it's like, if in doubt, flush it out.
Yes. I'm going to see signs all over your bathroom. Like,
I was going to say, little pinch of salt.
And I guess the other one that I really loved, like I know I've got a lot of takeouts, but this is because it, like this book, as much as it was like, as obviously, as I said, I think I listened to it. It took me like 2 hours to listen to on Audible. Yeah. I mean, I listen to things spoken at a really fast pace though.
Yeah, it does.
It might take longer than that, but I think I had you on like 2.5 speed or something. Well, it wasn't you specifically, the person who narrates it. Because this is the thing, people think that the brain, that we can't hear information when it's too fast. That's actually not true. We only can't take the information in when we're repeating in our own mind or our own mind's voice what we're hearing or what we're reading.
Yeah.
So as soon as you read, if you just read by scanning, you actually get through a lot more content than if you read word for word what it says on the page. But anyway, so I was listening at like 2.5 speed and I was like, whoop, pause, rewind, write that bit down, pause, rewind, write that bit down. But the other one that I really loved was the concept of the uncrossing spell done with a lemon. Because this isn't another thing. I see it all the time on the internet when people have got gripe with someone that they will then retaliate that with, like, I'm going to put you in the freezer or I'm going to put you in a jar and spit on you and all of that directive action to that one individual.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that with yours, it's a like using the lemon and you're kind of getting all of the bad stuff into the lemon. I know I'm explaining this really badly.
No, no, no. And it's very rhymey too. Sour spell to sour fruit. You must go there because that's your suit. Into this lemon ever bound. All cures, all ills with salt and sound. And it's because, again, you're attached. If you're going do it against Bob, you're attaching yourself to Bob. Just anything negative that what they're sending, if they're sending bad energy, if they're sending jealousy, if they're sending evil, they're still just what they're doing, not the person, because you don't want to be attached to that person. And lemons are clearing and salt is, it's old Southern conjure. It's a form of old Southern root magic. And it works. You set it out to dry, then you burn it, or and it just works. From, again, we talked in the beginning, that curse, the family curse that hardly anybody has, you know, it, but we create it ourselves. We certainly do, but this is such a beautiful way. I have not yet to find a reason to ever have to do anything new. Yes, you could do defensive magic if needed. You do protective magic if needed. I've never even, you know, when I talked about like the Master Chef and the America's Got Talent, the Wipeout, when I was at these auditions where I literally on each of them beat 100,000 people to get on, and I only pick things that I do not know how to do. I'm not that physical. So I beat 100,000 people to get on Wipeout. I didn't go there, oh, I hope she trips and I hope they're not good. I was like sending them all this good energy and that all bounced back. Same thing on Master Chef. It's like, I wasn't, oh, she burns her chicken. It's like, oh gosh, you look, this looks good. You're going to do great. You're going to win. All that energy out just came back to me. And now I'm cooking for Gordon Ramsay and I can't boil water. I'm a good witch. I'm not a good cook, but I'm a really good witch. And it's just like, what show? I have no, absolutely no business being on America's Got Talent. I'm sure you have your own Got Talent. Yeah. But that's usually the best of singers and the best is like, I got none of that, but I'll go on and be a psychic. So next thing I know, I am rolling around the floor of the Dolby Theater with Howie Mandel. That, and again, same thing, putting out, you don't need to ever do negative. What you put out, you get back, kids, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And just to finish on something really sweet, I know that the love bath, we've mentioned it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I think because you say that it's, now I'm going to muck this up as well. I should have written this down. It was you put salt in the water to cleanse the negativity. Then you put sugar in the water to give yourself a bit of sweetness. And then there was milk, but I can't remember what the milk was for.
Nurturing. Salt for cleanse, sugar to sweeten, milk to nurture. It's womb work. It's really a lot of things. I just have the bath in the book. And it should be cow milk, if you're willing, not coconut milk or almond milk. It's milk.
Yeah.
And there you could do a lot of inner child work in there. You could do a lot of going a shadow work in this warm, hot.
Oh, I'm absolutely that putting that on my list.
And that security.
I'm doing that tonight because I love baths.
Yeah, that whole cocoon thing.
And you feel like breakfast cereal. Salt, sugar, and milk.
Put a little bit of cinnamon, you know.
a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I'm getting soggy.
But there's nothing more nurturing than doing a love bath. I think it's just so amazing. Like I've done so many of them where to put like Epsom salts and all the other like chamomile and blah, blah, blah for relaxation and whatnot. And like, so that's why when I used to say to Vicky all the time on air, I'm like, I'm such a bad green witch. Like I'm not good at all the herbs. Like I'm not really a herb witch. And she's like, honey, you drink tea and you have herbal baths. What else do you need to do within those two? I'm like,
that's right.
I forget that it's so simple. And like you even mentioned that in your book about you, because I know you even said it in the book itself about being, I'm not a good cook, but I'm good at it as being a kitchen witch. And like how we naturally gravitate towards the things that we need the most. For example, I think it was the example you gave is when you argue with a lover and then you go for chocolate afterwards.
And basil is really good for arguments. Yeah. Basil.
Yeah, the next time I'm wanting to get an argument out, I'm just going to serve up some basil encrusted thing or bruschetta.
Bruschetta.
It's like, yeah, I have a bruschetta sauce. Yay.
Good again.
But I love it. So guys, you need to go out there and get this book because it's seriously, it's available everywhere, all major booksellers. And like I said, even if you don't like to read, it's on Audible. I'm sure it's on Scribd. There's so many different apps out there that you can find it. So
ebook,
again,
physical, both of them.
It's all of the above.
All of the above, because I've got it on Audible and I've got it on the way coming in physical book. Because
I'm either physical.
Because it's one of those that you write on kind of books to me. It's like, oh, yeah, I like this and that. So
practical
Audible is great. Ebook is great. But I've been doing some ebooks lately, and I haven't figured that out yet. I know you.
I'm not the same.
I like to have the piece of paper. I like it. I like it.
And I don't know whether this is because I'm a Melburnian, but I love the pretentiousness that I can tell people, "Oh, let me just go fetch that from the library," because my front front room is literally wall to wall, floor to ceiling library book. Like, it's my library. It's all the books. It's just nice to sit there and read sometimes.
It is.
So for everyone, again, that's old world magic for the modern world. Tips, tricks, and techniques to balance, empower, and create a life you love by Patty Negri. So Patty, it's been pleasure having you on the show.
Been amazing. I could keep talking for hours.
I feel like we have just scratched the surface. This is like the tip of the iceberg, I feel like.
But it's been so wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You guys are great hosts. I had a blast. It flew by. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And for everyone watching and listening, we're going to stick links either up here or down here, depending on which platform you're on, where you can follow and click and support Patty and all of her endeavors. Hopefully we can bring you back again in the future.
I would love it. I'm going to have you on my show too.
Yay. Ooh. That would be awesome.
We've never been on someone else's show.
We could do the crossover. No.
I've never been invited on someone else's show. That's going to put me in a hot seat. Yeah. No, that's awesome. But until next time, everyone, enjoy, and we'll speak to you all very, very soon.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye.